Amen and amen. We have made it, the last Chi Alpha service of the 2023-2024 school year. And for those of you that just walked off the stage, it might be the last Chi Alpha service of your college career. It has been such a fun year. God has moved in so many ways. It's very obvious that we've had our best year of Chi Alpha yet. Many of you came to know the real Jesus this year. Many of you have seen your lives absolutely turned upside down this year, and it is the coolest thing in the world to watch. And if this is your first time here in Chi Alpha, thank you. I'm glad you're here. Actually, you might not believe this, but some Chi Alpha like Hall of Famers have come in the last service of a year, and they get all plugged in the next year. So that could be your story. And again, I just want to thank you, seniors, that you're going to move on. Thank you for what you've done here and for just giving so much time and investment. And I do pray that as you go from here, you can just remember the things that God has done in you. It has been such a fun year, such a fun career. Tonight, we're going to finish the year out the same way that we started all the way back in 2020 for you seniors. We are going to conclude our sermon series, Ready for More, where we've been examining this idea that God wants to do more through us, that he is ready for more, and so are we. We are ready for God to do more on campus. We want more to happen around the state of Iowa. We want more to happen across the globe. What we're praying for is for God to change the world. And I think he wants to use us to do it. Tonight we're going to be reading just one verse. This is actually the verse where Chi Alpha gets its name. In case you don't know, we're named Chi Alpha not because we think frats are cool. Frats are fine. That's a great thing to do. But it's not because we're trying to mimic a frat. It actually stands for Christ's ambassadors. Christ's ambassadors. That's what Chi Alpha stands for. You're just figuring that out? I'm glad you're here. We're going to read a verse from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Our sermon title tonight is More World Changers. More World Changers. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for everything you've done this year. We thank you for those seniors who are just standing up here, God. And we pray that we can just truly be your ambassadors, Jesus. We love you. Amen, amen, and amen. All right. So for those of you, if you've ever played a sport with me, you will have learned two things about myself. Number one, I'm not very good at sports, all right? That's not my calling. I'm much better at telling jokes up here. Anyways, number two, though, I desperately want to win at all costs. And see, I have really prayed and reflected on this week, and I don't think that's my fault. As I've processed it, I really think it's my dad's fault. It's all on him because, see, growing up, winning was very important in my household. That was true in board games, video games, and definitely in sports. One time, my older brother, Daniel, he was in the fourth grade, and he was in the baseball championship. See, the year prior to this year, third grade championship, they had the upset of the century. They were playing this undefeated team that had smacked them like a couple games earlier, but they came back and won the championship, and the parents went nuts. This is not an exaggeration. I vividly remember one of the parents climbing the backstop, of climbing the fence and like shaking it on the top. This is like a 40-year-old man. And afterwards, when they won the game, I remember also a lot of the parents having some celebratory brewskis. Like they're like, "Hey, we won the third grade championship, bro. Let's get crunk." And they're like pushing back a Bush latte. Like, yeah, third graders. That's my childhood. Anyways, pray for me. It's good. So that was the team. And the team was back in the championship the very next year. And they desperately wanted the back-to-back wins. Crazy game. My brother's team ends up winning. Yay for them. Good job. You won the fourth grade title. And see, my dad then proceeded to celebrate this victory in a very bad way. Father, if you listen, forgive me for telling this story. Anyways, let me tell you a backstory. First of all, my dad was the coach of the team. He was also an adult. He was not in the fourth grade. He was a grown man. Secondly, the team was called Priority One Concrete, which was the company my dad owned. So my dad was also the sponsor of the team. The team represented his business. Like, that mattered. Like, my family eating was important. I at least thought so. And so representing the company well mattered. Third, my mom was the commissioner of the league. She was in charge. Everything was on her. She was the one who connected the school and the league. Important lady. So my father, the dad, adult, coach, sponsor, husband of the commissioner, decided that, you know what, there's no better way to celebrate the championship of the fourth grade team than doing this. So he grabbed me, as I was pretty young, and a buddy of mine. He told us to get in his truck, and he proceeds to drive onto the field with his truck, and he starts doing donuts in the field. Like, he's going around the bases doing donuts with his big F-250 or something, going around and around, and I'm in there thinking it's a great time, just doing donuts to celebrate the victory. That's bad, right? It gets worse. See, he didn't wait for the other team to get out of the dugout before he started doing this. Oh, just wait. So while he's doing it, it's spraying lime on the losing team. He's like, you fourth grade losers, and they're just getting caked. But see, they're fourth graders, but they could run. So they like all ran out of the dugout. That's a good thing, right? It gets worse. So the other team's coach, he couldn't run out because he was in a wheelchair. Yeah, so bro's in a wheelchair. And so he couldn't run away from the donut storm. And so he just had to sit there and take it, like pop, 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 all over him. And he was covered in lime and dirt, head to toe. Well, head to toe, yeah, that's like that, right? I was trying to make a good representation. Don't be mad at me. And so this coach, I remember he also had really long hair and it was like in his hair. But anyways, he was really angry, very much good. He should be angry. My dad was being a butt that day. And the coach was furious. And my dad, recognizing that he had just screwed up, stays in the truck and he just books it and goes home. He doesn't get out. He just drives home. My mom's probably saying naughty things to him and he's home. So anyways, see, what my dad did was pretty bad. I would say horrible, maybe. It made him look pretty stupid. But what you have to recognize is he wasn't just representing himself. He was representing the whole team because he's the coach. He was representing my family because he's a father. His company, as he was the sponsor. Literally, the logo was on the shirts and the truck. Like, the truck part was bad. Anyways. He also represented the entire league. As like I said, my mom was in charge. She got a call from the superintendent the very next day saying, what happened to your husband? And then my mom, like, fudged the truth a little bit because my dad had gone out about 4 a.m. and, like, re-limed the field. And so the superintendent goes out and he's like, I don't see any problem. And my mom's like, I agree. I don't know what they're talking about. Anyways, they're not gonna, they go to our church, so just don't bring this up. But, see, he was supposed to be a good example and represent these things well. But what he did just made them all kind of look bad. See, my dad was an ambassador. An ambassador is someone who represents something to someone else. Usually, we use this term in the context of, like, other countries. So, like, America has ambassadors to go to other countries, like France, for example. The United States ambassador to France, her name is Denise Bauer, and she represents the United States to a different country, to France. So she is sent to France on behalf of our nation. Her goal is to make a positive impact on the rest of the world, to do what's in best favor for her country and ultimately the world. See, an ambassador's job is to change the world for the people they represent. Don't you want to change the world? Deep down, we all want to make a difference. We want to be remembered. No one goes through life hoping that they just kind of like do enough. See, I think we actually have a fear. Maybe it's just me, but I think sometimes we fear that our lives won't matter. That when we're gone, no one's going to notice the difference. That we fear that no one's going to come to our funeral. We won't be remembered, and our life will just kind of happen. See, Paul tells us in this verse, this is how we change the world. This is how we make our life matter. We change the world through being an ambassador, through representing Jesus and his kingdom to the people around us. We are ambassadors for Christ. That is the chief purpose of your entire life, to represent Jesus to people around you. And as you've gotten to know Jesus throughout your time in Chi Alpha, you've probably started to sense that other things just don't seem to matter as much as Jesus. Maybe coming into Chi Alpha, your top priority was getting good grades, having a lot of money, getting your parents' approval, getting the other sex's approval. But as you've gotten to know Jesus, you start to recognize that those things, well, they're not all bad. They're not worth giving everything for. They just don't matter quite as much. Because we are hardwired for something else. We are hardwired for more. Hardwired to live a life that counts. And a life lived for ourselves makes no difference. But a life lived as an ambassador for the King of Kings actually does something. Think about the ambassadors that the United States sends out. The main purpose, the main reason they are sent to a different country is to be an ambassador, to support the United States. For example, Denise Bauer is not sent to France just to enjoy the country. Even though she probably will, she'll do some things, right? Maybe she raises her family, she'll eat good food, she'll get to know the people, do fun stuff. She'll do good things while she's there. But the reason that she is sent to France is nothing else than to be an ambassador for the United States of America. So the reason you are sent to this earth, even though you can enjoy life, and you can do good things, do fun things, have a family, those are all good things to do. But the main reason you were sent here is to be an ambassador. You were sent to this earth not just to pursue your own dream or the American dream, but to pursue God's dream for the people around you. You were sent to represent King Jesus. Our main calling is to be an ambassador for Jesus. Since we are ambassadors for Jesus, that means our job is to show the world Jesus. If you actually think about this deeply, really think about it. It's kind of scary. You are the chief representation of Jesus to people around you. You're showing the world the Almighty God. Because see, Jesus isn't physically here on earth, walking around, showing people himself. No, he has entrusted us to show the world what he's like. That means the way we live actually matters. What you do does not just reflect on you. If you are a Jesus follower, what you do reflects on you, reflects on other Jesus followers in the kingdom of God as a whole. That is not something to be taken lightly. You're constantly walking around with the Jesus jersey on. And that means our lives should look different. Because see, we are the primary example to people who do not know Jesus for what Jesus is like. Because see, people who do not know Jesus are probably not going to open up a Bible to learn about God. They're probably not going to go to a church to learn about God. They're probably not listening to worship music thinking Christ is all, right? They're not getting theology or ideas of God from that. The main and really only way that non-Jesus followers learn about Jesus and see Jesus is through you. You are the example. And that scares me a little bit. So our lives have got to look different. Remember this word we've talked about a few times, consecrated, set apart for a holy usage. We have to be set apart. We've got to be different. We can't look like everyone else because then we're not representing something greater. Our lives need to look like Jesus. What this means is we should be people of joy because we found freedom in God. We should be people of holiness because we represent the Holy of Holies. We should be the kindest group of people on the planet because God has been so kind and compassionate to us. If we are jerks to everyone else, and they're like, hey, come to church and meet Jesus, and then like we cuss them out, that doesn't really add up, right? If we're jerks to everyone else, that's not quite the best representation of what Jesus is like. We have to remember, ambassadors represent Jesus, and that's you. As you go home this summer, you are representing Jesus. Maybe you didn't know Jesus in high school. Maybe your family or friends back home don't know God very well. And when you go home and tell them that you met Jesus, I hate to break it to you, they're going to start examining you very closely. They'll be seeing, are you actually different? Because see, they're going to view Jesus through the way you live your life. And be like, is this person actually changed? Or is it just some big talk? Do they actually love Jesus or just a culture that's indoctrinated them? I pray that it's not that. And see, I know this reality because it made a huge impact on my life. So I grew up knowing Jesus, but when I came to Chi Alpha, my life was radically changed. I didn't have a real relationship with Jesus until I came to Chi Alpha. Came here, dove all in. Growing up, none of my friends knew Jesus whatsoever. And growing up in high school, let me confess some sin to you. I had a really big problem with making really naughty jokes. I was watching and playing like Grand Theft Auto as like a third grader, so that just kind of really indoctrinated me in a bad, bad way, okay? Not to blame my dad again, but let's keep going. So I struggled with that. I made crude jokes, would talk naughty, things like that. And so when I came back home for breaks, I would quickly fall into that when I'm around my friends, and I'd start talking the way they did. I didn't represent this change Jesus did in my heart. I said, like, oh, I love Jesus, my life's different now, but then I'd still talk the same way. Fast forward. My friends from high school actually eventually meet my friends from Chi Alpha. We start playing basketball together. And specifically, one of my Chi Alpha friends starts becoming pretty good friends with one of my high school friends. They start playing Fortnite together, is what they did. I learned Fortnite has waterbending now, so that was a fun development this weekend, but we'll continue. So one night, they're playing video games, and my high school friend opens up to my Chi Alpha friend and says, hey, I think Derek's a fraud. He's like, he talks like he loves Jesus, but then he's still making inappropriate jokes, and he acts like the rest of us. It's like, so clearly he's a hypocrite. Oh, that hurt. When my Chi Alpha friend told me that, I felt like a pile of garbage for like 6 years. That was like 6 years ago. So it was horrible. That is probably one of the most painful things I've ever been told. I think a more painful thing is that friend still doesn't love Jesus and really has no interest in Jesus. When I went home, I was not a good ambassador for God. I didn't show my friends what Jesus looked like. And I'm imploring you to not make the same mistake I did. Represent Jesus well when you go home this summer. Be different than the people around you. This is important because as we represent Jesus to the outside world, Jesus is actually trying to show his love to the world through us. See, the text said that God is making his appeal through us. God tries to reach people through you and me. Usually God doesn't speak with an audible voice like, come follow me, and then people just start running towards him. That's not usually what happens, no. See, we have a responsibility as ambassadors to tell people about God because God wants to work through us. God could have chosen, think about this practically, he could have chosen to reach the world any way he wanted to. God could have started a YouTube channel and he'd be like, hey, click subscribe and then you're saved. He could have done that if he wanted to. He could have went for like print ads to be like relevant to old things. He could have just spoken loud and put a surround sound in the heavens for everyone to hear. He could have made a viral TikTok just like that. But no, the way that God chose to reach the whole world is through using me and you. That's his choice. And that's incredible. I'll be honest, sometimes, maybe that's just me, sometimes I feel like it's a burden. Like I have to talk to people about Jesus. I have to spread his love. I have to be this representative, this ambassador. I have to get out of my comfort zone to talk to that guy at the gym that I feel really uncomfortable talking to. But that's the incorrect mindset. We get to be used by God. We get to be the methodology that God makes his appeal to the world through. There's nothing more beautiful and fulfilling than being used by God to reach other people. I promise you, I've tried a lot of different things to find fulfillment and satisfaction. Jesus and then helping other people meet Jesus is way above everything else. God has chosen to make his appeal to the world through you. That is a special calling. This should excite us, fill us with gratitude. Where I can't wait to be used by God. Thank you, God, for choosing to use me. So don't view the call to be an ambassador as a burden, but as a gift. Ambassadors get to make the appeal of God. Ambassadors get to make this appeal. They get to do it. Practically, this looks like actually talking to people about Jesus. As you go home for the summer, you have an opportunity to tell your friends and family about Jesus. You have two choices. You can keep bottled up what God is doing in you because you don't want to make someone uncomfortable, or you're embarrassed, or you don't want to step on toes. You can do that. Or you can extend the greatest gift that's ever been given to the friends around you and help them meet Jesus. And as some of you prepare for graduation, you're in the same boat. You could keep your life with Jesus to yourself, or you could be on mission for God. You can tell your new coworkers about Jesus. You can live on mission. And all this comes full circle to the beginning. Remember when I said, we all long to change the world, right? You long to make a difference. You long to live a life that counts. This is how. This is how we change the world. Through letting God make his appeal to the world through us, through being his ambassador. Because see, ambassadors change the world. I truly believe that every one of you is a world changer. If you've been around Chi Alpha or me, you probably have heard me say that a few times. Sometimes I ask, like, Derek, you always say everyone can change the world. That can't be true. I think it is true. I deep down believe every one of you has an impact or that can make an impact on this world. I think your life can count. I think your life can be about more than just you. Your goals, your dreams, I think you can make an impact, actually. Because see, no one on their deathbed is thinking, man, I wish I had more money. Man, I wish I would have went golfing just one more time. Also, I went golfing this past week. I'm horrible at that too, but let's keep going. No one's thinking, I wish I would have been more selfish. No, when people are on their deathbed, they're usually thinking, I wish I would have prioritized that person more. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have talked to that one person about Jesus who I didn't. They're thinking, I wish my life would have counted. See, we do not change the world through playing games on our phone, through hiding from people, from living for ourselves. We change the world through being an ambassador to God, to your world. I said your word, world very specifically. Because see, changing the whole world, that's a broad goal. But I think God is asking you to change your world, where God has sent you. Because see, we all have different callings, different places we spend our lives, different things that we are assigned to do. And here in Chi Alpha, we have three areas that we feel like we are called to change. Number one is we are called to change the university. That one should be obvious. We're in a university. It's a good thing to change the place around us. I think God has a huge calling for our campus this next fall. We've been claiming that 2024 is the year of revival. Revival is just when God moves in power. See, we think that this fall, God's going to blow our minds. We think God is going to do more in and through us than we could ever imagine. I am praying that we fill this place at our fall launch service this next year. August 27th, 2024. Imagine if we looked around and every seat was filled. Not for the glory of Chi Alpha or for the glory of any of us, but for the glory of King Jesus. Imagine every seat in this room filled with people worshiping King Jesus, encountering the presence of God in the middle of a public campus. Imagine that 18-year-old who's coming to campus this fall, who has no idea what their life is going to look like. That was probably you a few months ago. Imagine that person meeting Jesus in one of these seats, maybe the seat you are sitting in right now, meeting with Jesus and having their life turn upside down in a moment. I think God wants to do that this fall. And from talking to a lot of you, I think a lot of you have the same dream as me. I don't think it's just me. If so, that's fine. I'll get the flag, but I think it'd be good to have some fun partners. And the way this is going to happen is through you being an ambassador. And this starts, so this is for those of you who come back, starts having a healthy summer. Through you prioritizing time with Jesus this summer. In Chi Alpha world, being close to Jesus is not easy, but it's simple. Go to church on Sunday. Spend time with Jesus every day. You meet with a small group leader maybe once a week. You go to service on Tuesday night. You go to small group on Thursday. You rinse and repeat, right? You have a small group leader who's asking you, hey, are you spending time with Jesus? It kind of keeps going. This summer, a lot of those things are going to be gone. You have to own your own faith. It is on you now. And you can do it. I believe in you. I believe you can have a healthy summer. I want you to imagine August 27th when you're sitting here again. And I want you to think, what can you do to when you're sitting here, you're like, thank God I made it. I had a good summer. Do those things. Spend time with Jesus. Live a life of real devotion. Don't isolate yourself. Live a life of real community and stay on mission. Do not be a bumpkin and sleep till noon every day this summer. The kingdom of God has never advanced through us sleeping until 2 p.m. Unless you have night hours, I guess. I shouldn't have said that. That was too general of a quote. I'm sorry. I recant that. Some people can change the world through getting up at 2. John Griffin worked night shifts. Now I feel bad. But anyways, we'll just keep going. Live a life of real devotion, real community, real responsibility this summer. Have a good summer. Be honest about where you're at. But it doesn't stop there. It also means that if we want revival this fall, we have to cry out for it in prayer this summer. Last week, I don't know if you remember, but Hope came up and had a word that showed us from the Lord. She said, we can't just like sing and say that we're asking, we're seeking, we're praying for God to move. We have to actually ask and seek and pray for God to move. Oh, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm the one who preaches about revival. I'm like, I don't pray as much as I preach about it. This isn't good. So this week's been a little bit different. Thank you, Hope, for rebuking me from up here. We got to do this, right? We're talking a big game. We want revival this fall. But do we actually want it? Our desire for revival this fall will not be tested by what we say here on Tuesday nights. It'll be tested by what we do throughout this summer in the prayer closet. Through being on our knees on Monday morning, praying for God to move. The proof of our hunger is in the prayer of this summer. So I have a challenge for you all, Chi Alpha. I challenge you to commit to pray for 10 minutes a day. You can do more if you want, but 10 minutes a day for revival this fall. Pray for 10 minutes, commit to doing it. It's easy. You take your phone, start a stopwatch, 10 minutes, and you pray. You don't get crazy. I can put up an hour up there. Most of us wouldn't do it, probably me included. We'll start with 10 minutes. If that doesn't work, start with 5. If that doesn't work, do 1. I don't care. Pray for revival every day this fall or this summer. Pray for future freshmen. Pray for our small group leaders. Pray for welcome week. Pray for transfer students. Pray for great conversations this fall. Pray for that first service that the presence of God is tangible. Pray for fall retreat, which will be much earlier next year. And also, we have an awesome speaker. He's like the most handsome guy in the world, so that's going to at least bring some revival in that. He's from Hawaii, so that'll be cool too. Commit that you are going to pray for 10 minutes a day this summer. Here's my promise to you. If every one of us prayed for 10 minutes a day this summer, God would blow our stinking minds this fall. I promise you, God comes where he's wanted. If we want him here, he'll show up. If we pray, God will be here. We got to commit to doing it, though. And guess what? If you miss a day, the challenge isn't done. Just do it again the next day. Dang it, you missed a day. All right, just don't tell anyone. Keep going. I'm just kidding. You can tell people. That's okay. But don't let a missed day get in the way of what God wants to do. Maybe you miss a month and you forget about this. And then June, you're looking through your notebook. Oh, crap, I'm supposed to pray. Great, start praying then. It'll be an awesome year. Revival on our university this fall starts with prayer this summer. But it continues to being committed when this fall comes. Speaking of being committed, this fall we will officially have 55 small group leaders. Let's give them a round of applause. Come on. Next year, small group leaders, I just want to say thank you for counting the cost and saying yes to Jesus. Thank you for saying yes to sacrificing self for other people. Get excited. Our group of leaders that are carrying us the next year are hungry. They are awesome. And it's going to be good. And be nice to them this fall if you're in their small group, please. Don't come with a deep theological question night one. Save it for week two. And then you can come after. But here's the reality, Chi Alpha. And this is really, really important. Please don't miss this. In order for revival to come this fall, it cannot just be small group leaders who are in the game. If we want to see revival, everyone's got to get off the bench. This could look like you deciding, I'm going to move back to school a week early so I can be at Welcome Week stuff and meet new students and invite them to Chi Alpha. This looks like you and your classes that first Monday. You don't get to wait 5 weeks to get to know them. You invite them to Chi Alpha at the first class because you say, we're going to have the coolest thing you've ever seen on Tuesday night. Invite them right away. It looks like you living on mission, even if you're not a leader. You don't need the title of small group leader to be on mission this fall. God does not say, all right, small group leaders, go and make disciples of all nations. No, it says, go make disciples of all nations. So if you're you, you're not on the bench. If you remember right, it didn't say, small group leaders, you are ambassadors for Christ. No, we are all ambassadors for Christ. It's something that's really cool. This semester specifically, which never happens in the spring, we've had a ton of new students buy into Chi Alpha. A lot of you started coming to Chi Alpha this spring. You're hungry, you're excited. Even though you're not a small group leader, it does not mean you have to wait a year and a half to start making disciples. In order for us to reach our potential and to see revival, those of you that are even newer to Chi Alpha, you've got to start being on mission this fall. Even though you may have been around for a month, you can still see revival come this fall in our university. You do that through being the best small group member possible, through inviting people to small group. If we all are on mission, we're going to change the campus because we can be an army of students. If we all get in the game, you watch out. We will see revival. You got to remember, it can't just be the leaders, though, because title doesn't actually make a difference. God's not going to get you to eternity. Like, oh, were you a small group leader? No, okay, you're good. You didn't have to talk to anyone about Jesus. He doesn't care about the name tags. Another way, this is kind of a tangent, but another way we can be on mission this fall and reach our university is through financial generosity, something we never talk about here in Chi Alpha, so let me talk about it for a few seconds. During Welcome Week, we do a ton of outreach events, right? We do the big Chick-fil-A party, we do advertisements, we buy t-shirts, do a ton of things, and we try to reach people. And you may not have thought about this before. All those things cost money. Chick-fil-A does not come down from heaven. I've tried. I've prayed, like, Lord, send the chicken in. I never wake up and it's there, but it's fine. But see, here's reality. Those things cost money, but if we all play a small part, we can see God do something big on campus. So here's my second challenge to you. Give $100 to Welcome Week this fall. Invest your finances into what God wants to do this fall. Commit to giving at least $100. And here's why I'm asking you to do this, to be honest. It's not that we need your money to make Chi Alpha run. We got a savings account, and I got people I can ask. I don't want your money, I want your heart. The Bible is very clear. Where your money is, there your heart is. There's kind of like a little connection between your heart and your wallet. I want your heart in the game this fall, and I think you investing in and actually buying some of those Chick-fil-A sandwiches for students this fall is going to make a big difference. So I encourage you, give $100. I want to be able to cover Chi Alpha's expenses within Chi Alpha. For those of you that are graduating alumni and you're going to start making more money, I encourage you to do even more. I encourage you to commit to partnering with Chi Alpha on a monthly basis, as well as giving to the Welcome Week Fund. I encourage you to see what God can do through you as you leave. I think every student, specifically since we're all going to be working hopefully more in this summer, making money, I think everyone can do it. And if we did that, if all of us gave $100 to Welcome Week, we would raise about $15,000, which is, coincidentally, about the exact amount of money it costs to do Welcome Week. So we could all do it. That'd be kind of fun. You can give to Chi Alpha. You can do it right now if you want, but it's on our website, northerniowaxa.com/give. I don't want you to stop there, though. I have one more request to you financially. I want you to ask your parents, you have a good relationship with them, to also give $100 to Chi Alpha. Because if we did that, and each of us gave $100, and then Chi Alpha, or our parents did the same thing, we'd be able to cover most of the expenses for the whole next year. As you guys have probably noticed, unlike a church service, we don't do like a tithe. I've never talked about money before. We don't do that. I want you to tithe your church. We do one financial ask a year, and it's right now. And so I'm not asking just for your money, I'm asking for your heart, so you can play a part in revival this fall. Get your parents engaged. And then a side note, if any of you have parents that like have a lot of resources, give me them digits, baby. I'd love to hang out. I would love to come to your hometown this summer. An event, it's like a date with Derek. First I'll hang out with you, and then I'm gonna hang out with your parents, all right? Tell them to take me to the Cheesecake Factory if there's one near. I love Cheesecake Factory. Anyways, don't judge me for that. That's my guilty pleasure. But seriously though, if you have a parent with more financial means, I would actually really love to talk to them about what it looked like to sow into Chi Alpha. All right, there's my financial spiel. You won't have to hear about that for another year, so see you then. We need to show the university the love of Jesus. That's what all this is about. You getting in the game financially and with the way you live your life. It's about seeing this campus come to know God. We are called to change our world of you and I and Hawkeye for Jesus. And it's only going to happen through first us having a healthy summer. Come on, please have a healthy summer. I don't want to hear about something in July. We're like, I stopped following Jesus for a few months. I don't want to get that text. I hate that text. I want the text in July like you on some church's Instagram page, like going crazy for Jesus. That'd be fun. Have a healthy summer. Get in the game this fall. We'll see revival. We can fill this room if we get in the game. That's the first area. We want to reach the university. But we don't stop there. We go from the university to the marketplace. We say marketplace, we mean like normal workplaces. So not being a pastor. This is what most of you are going to do when you graduate. You're going to become like a teacher, a business person, accountant, something like that. You have a calling to go to your world and to change the marketplace and represent Jesus. For those of you graduating, this is your very near future. Do you realize that you can change the whole world through your career? I think sometimes it seems like the spiritual people become pastors and the rest of us don't. That's no. You can change the world, maybe even more so through the marketplace because you're around a bunch of people who don't know Jesus. You have access to so many people and you can be a light to them. You can be an ambassador to the marketplace. But it takes actually doing it. I think it's easy for us to say, I'm called to the marketplace to show them Jesus, but then to get into your job and start focusing on your career, your family, your goals, and to not actually bring up Jesus. You'll say things like, I'm playing the long game. When I've known them for 5 years, then I'll bring up Jesus. They're going to quit before then probably. You can't wait 5 years. You got to invite people to church. You cannot just say, I'm called to the marketplace as an excuse to make a lot of money. You need to actually live like an ambassador to the marketplace. If you're there, you're there on purpose, to show the world Jesus through your life. This looks like working with integrity, always taking the higher ground, not doing something for the bottom line, but for the kingdom of God, not cutting corners or doing something shady, being honorable. This also means telling people about Jesus. You don't just show them, you got to use your mouth sometimes and talk to them about Jesus. Start conversations with people. Be the most bubbly person out there, even if you're not. That's not natural. Jesus probably won't naturally come up. You're going to have to bring him up and then invite people to church. You can also change the world, I kind of lied earlier, through the marketplace, through your generosity. Forgot I talked about it one more later. Through using your resources to support your local church, supporting missionaries throughout the world. They're giving to things like Feed One, where you can feed hungry children. And obviously, you can give back to Chi Alpha too. Use the resources God has entrusted with you to change the world. Don't use your resources just to get a fat savings account or like a jet ski. If you do buy a jet ski, though, please make sure to invite me over so I can drive it. I promise I will not go too fast. I'll be good. I'll behave this time. I promise. So seriously, if any of you have a jet ski, also talk to me. We can be an ambassador for Jesus in the marketplace really just through how we do our work. Doing our job really well can actually change the world. I want to tell you guys about someone. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you about a man who probably doesn't remember my name, but he has changed my world more than I probably anyone on the planet. Let me introduce you to my good friend, Dr. Mauro Scannone. What a handsome guy. This is weird that his face is up there, but I want you to keep that up there. This man changed my entire family. See, almost exactly a year ago, Taylor and I, that's my wife, we were at a doctor's appointment. And we were told that our twin boys, whom she was pregnant with at the time, they had something called twin-twin transfusion syndrome. What that means is one of our boys was taking all the nutrients from the other one. So this continued on. One of our boys definitely would have died, and probably both of them, we would have lost them. So we were told we need to rush to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester to have emergency surgery. And see, this surgery is not a normal surgery. Only a few people in the world know how to do it. It's very intense. It's very challenging. It doesn't have a good success rate. They were telling me, like, the numbers. I'm like, this is bad. It's not looking good. But see, our doctor here in Iowa told us that that guy at Mayo Clinic is the best in the world. He'll take care of you. So we rush up, and I get to meet Dr. Scannone. He walks through everything with us, what he's exactly going to do. He answers my thousands of questions. And then he literally spends hours doing an ultrasound on Taylor just to make sure he's got a good lay of the land. So we come back the next day, and Taylor's wheeled off to surgery. So what this surgery looked like is Dr. Scannone would have to cut into Taylor and shoot a laser into her womb, and between the twin boys, there's connection points. And he had to go through and manually cut each connection point to make sure that they weren't connected anymore. If he failed and missed one of those connection points, surgery doesn't work. He's got to get them all. Because if he misses connection points, then the nutrients are still going to be going from one to the next. He had to be very thorough. Also, when you do this surgery, you have a strong risk of hurting their brains with a bunch of development issues. A lot of issues can happen. It's a very risky surgery. He cuts Taylor's stomach open, decides this is not a good angle, so he moves her around and cuts her at a different point, different angle, last second. He goes and he does the surgery. Comes to me afterwards, we're in there, he's like, time will tell if it worked. I think it was good, but I don't know. Well, time has said it worked. My boys ended up being perfectly healthy with no issues. They're a little overweight. Besides that, they're doing good. I have two extremely healthy boys, thanks to Dr. Scannone. Dr. Scannone, dedicating his life to his craft, giving countless hours to studying and becoming the best at what he does, changed my little family's world. And see, I also believe that my two sons are going to change the whole rest of the world. I believe that thousands of people are going to come to know Jesus through those guys. It's all thanks to him. The really cool part is Dr. Scannone noticed Taylor and I praying and talking about Jesus, and he told us that he follows Jesus well and that he'll be praying for the surgery to go well too. He showed us Jesus through being really good at his job, through representing Jesus and being an ambassador for Christ in the marketplace. Those of you going to the marketplace, don't you dare tell me that's less of a calling. My life's turned upside down because someone went to the marketplace. Dr. Scannone changed my world. Dr. Scannone changed the whole world. You can too. Which brings us to our third focus area. We've got the university, the marketplace, and then the world. When we in Chi Alpha say the world, we mean reaching the unreached around the world, being a missionary. See, I pray that God is going to call some of you to be ambassadors to the rest of the world to help them come to know Jesus. I pray that God's going to call some of you to give your life to the Middle East, to Europe, to Asia, to go find people and show them Jesus. And we don't have time to dive into this too much, but I do want to give you a little sneak peek of the next school year. So you guys, raise your hand if you went to Winter Conference this past year. That's great. That's good. Winter Conference is something we do in January. And Winter Conference this year is going to be all focused on reaching the world. It's actually going to be called the Commissioned Conference, and we're doing it with a ton of other Chi Alphas. There'll be 2,500 students there. We're with a bunch of states, and we're partnering all to focus on what it looks like to reach the world. Another really cool part, the conference is in Rochester, Minnesota. I might go say hi to Dr. Scannone. Also, it's closer than where the last one was, so thank you, Jesus. We're praying for no snow. So then, that's how we can reach the world. So there we have it. We are called to be ambassadors to the university, the marketplace, and the world. For many of you, this is your last Chi Alpha service. And that makes me really sad. I've been kind of mopey all day, to be honest. I love you all so very much, and I'm so grateful for your time in Chi Alpha. Over this past year, our Chi Alpha team has really been trying to figure out, why do we exist? Like, what's the purpose? And I was in a conversation with Pastor Victor and Pastor Joel, and we were standing up around a whiteboard trying to figure out why we exist. And I think I just like stared at Victor and like, I got it. I know why we exist. We exist to empower you to change the world. That's the whole heartbeat of Chi Alpha and of my life. I exist. Chi Alpha exists to empower you to change the whole world. That's it. Everything we've done over the past 4 years or however long you've been in Chi Alpha has been to equip you and empower you to change the world. For those that are seniors, you are ready. You are ready to be sent out. You are ready for the more God has for you. We have spent literally years getting you ready for this moment. It's time to go change the world. It's time to go live a life of real devotion, real community, real responsibility. It's time to show the world, more Jesus. It's time to show the world that hope is on the horizon. It's time to go find people in your life and to show them they are actually born with a birthright. They have a right to royalty, that they have a right to become a son or daughter, a prince or princess in the kingdom of God. And you're ready to go show them this. Because see, seniors, you are ready to go on the journey of a lifetime. This is just the beginning of your world-changing adventure. We're just at the starting line. Chi Alpha is not the height of your life with God. We're just like the warm-up before you run the race. Because see, you've spent time in your time in college becoming a disciple of Jesus. You've been learning what it looks like to live a life like Jesus, to know God, to know self, to find friendship, find freedom, and to live mission and live service for the kingdom of God. You've also learned that you don't have to go on this journey alone, that you've been empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we are not just a movement, we are a movement fueled by the Holy Spirit. You are equipped from the Holy Spirit to live your life, to go be witnesses to Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, as Acts 1:8 says. You've learned over your time in Chi Alpha that the Holy Spirit can literally rest on us as we come to know God. And as you do this, you will go to the rest of the world. And as you go to the world, there will be a light with you. As you go, there goes the light. If we do this, if we are actually ambassadors for King Jesus to the university, the marketplace, and the world, well, then we'll be ready for revival. We'll be ready to show the world around us the love of God. We'll be ready to show people what it looks like to follow King Jesus. I'm just gonna be honest, it's about to be a stretch right here. We gotta go with me. As Joseph was given the robe of many colors from his father, showing that he was in the family of God, you have received the robe of many colors, showing that you are in the family of God. And now you get to go out and show other people that they can too be in the family of God. Seniors, it's so clear. You are ready. You're ready for more. You're all ready to go change the world. Our main idea tonight. So if you want to change the world, be Christ's ambassador. If you want to change the world, just be Chi Alpha. And all this talk about going from here and changing the world makes me reflect on these past 4 years. Yes, there's still so much more world here, you and I, to change. But seniors, those of you around in 2020, look at me. You've done it. You've already changed the world. Could I have Sam and Lucy come up here? Ashlyn, you're already up here, so you can stay right there, please. Taylor, if you'd come grab that for me. She in here? Great, thank you. They didn't know I was going to do this, so have grace for them. Thank you, three. I am so grateful for you, three. See, these three individuals have lived lives to follow Jesus. These three individuals have given the past 3 years of their lives to making disciples who make disciples. And last year, we introduced an award here in Chi Alpha. I think it's the coolest thing we've got. And it goes to any small group leader who leads a small group for 3 years or more. And all three of these guys have done that, and they're transitioning on from Chi Alpha. So what matters for small group leading, as they would tell you, is faithfulness. I'm going to imagine that you three weren't perfect leaders in your time. Sam's not sure. He's like, I was pretty close. You maybe made some mistakes. I know you all had awkward conversations. I got to watch them. It was really fun for me. And maybe you had some not so great 3-hour small group lessons. But you three have kept the vision. You three have had the grit to keep going. And your faithfulness has changed the world. Ashlyn, I will never forget the first time I heard you sing. I played the video still from the Senate live stream until I got taken down. But anyway, that's besides the point. When I heard you sing the first time, it literally moved me to tears. You have such an anointing from God. So many people are going to get to enter the presence of God because of your worship leading. But worship leading is far from the only way you've impacted our group. You've also faithfully loved girls these past 3 years. You decided to give it one more year, to give one more year back to Chi Alpha. You've dedicated time and energy to helping people love Jesus. Something I love about you is you have a heart for the presence of God and for people to actually know the real Jesus. You don't settle for just superficial. Like, no, we're going to get real. We're going to get deep. Like, maybe not yet. Like, I don't care. We're going. And I love that. Samuel, I love you very, very much. I remember sitting in Starbucks encouraging you to be a small group leader, even though you were very scared. And so I bribed him with leading with Pastor John. He's like, I don't want to do much. I'm like, yeah, it's fine, buddy. Just sign up. It'll be great. And that worked. Thank God. And I bought him barbecue, double bribe. Anyways, Sam, you've done so well. You have loved your guys so much. And even though you might get us off track just a few times in conversation, I'm so thankful for your hunger for God. Seeing you grow into a man these past 3 years has been probably one of my favorite things about my job. Sam, you are truly one of the best small group leaders in Chi Alpha history. Thank you for leading the charge. Thank you for leading the men of Chi Alpha, for being an example for what it looks like. And last, but certainly not least, Lucy. The first student I met in the fall of 2020, she was doing a one-on-one with Amber out in the park because it was COVID, so we had to sit like 30 feet away. Lucy, I could write a book on how much you mean to Taylor, myself, and Chi Alpha. You embody everything that I asked for, a member of Chi Alpha. You embody everything I could ever ask for, a small group leader. You are so incredibly faithful. You are so loyal. You are the most reliable person on the planet. And you've been such a stinking good small group leader. I love your tenacity to keep fighting for people. I love your willingness to not give up on people. There's girls here who are here because you didn't give up on them. That's one of them. She's crazy. God, she's crazy. Lord, help us all. Anyways, I'm beyond grateful for who you are as a person, as a friend, and as a leader. Lucy, you are one of the most important people in the history of Chi Alpha. Don't you ever doubt the impact you've made on this campus. You've changed the world. Taylor, if you would come and give them those. This is our World Changer Award. Ashton won't be able to take hers, so you don't have to give her hers yet. We'll give it to her afterwards. See, these people are here because of just being obedient. Do me a favor. If any of you have been in one of their small groups, would you please stand up? I would like you to look around and see if your small group leader is standing. If so, please stand up. That's pretty cool. These people are here following Jesus because you said yes to him. Thank you for giving your time in college for other people. Thank you for being an ambassador for Christ. I am eternally grateful for all three of you. Can we give them a round of applause, please? You guys can go sit down. But we're not done yet. Where is Miss Lilu? Lilu, are you in here? Let's give a round of applause for Lilu as she comes up. For those who don't know, Lilu has been doing our internship program this past year, and she is finishing up her internship, and she'll be jumping into the marketplace to go be Dr. Scannone. Looks a little different, but it'll be good. See, Lilu, I need you to recognize that you've made such an impact here on campus. There are so many girls that are here because of you. Lilu, you've created like a subculture in our Chi Alpha. They all kind of look the same, too. It really freaks me out a little bit. Lilu, you've done such a good job leading girls and showing them the love of Jesus. You have been faithfully fighting for them. Lilu, seeing you grow as a leader who wanted to just be the best friend possible to becoming a disciple maker over these past 3 years has been such a joy. You've done such a good job. You literally build culture. We're here because of you. You've also been such a great member of our team. Lilu is one of the smartest people I know. She literally has these weird ideas that I just vibe with. The rest of our team's looking at us like we're crazy. I'm like, no, this is awesome. Just trust me. You are so smart. You are so valuable to our Chi Alpha. And Lilu will be sticking around because her husband Joel is still going to be working with Chi Alpha. And she's going to be leading a resource group next year. But we will miss seeing you every day. And Lilu, the votes are in. They've been cast. It's been decided. You are the GOAT. Lilu, you are the greatest intern of all time. And that's finalized. Yes, amen. The other interns celebrate. Like, yeah, not me. Lilu, you have changed me. You're such a dear friend and a world changer. And one more time, if you've been in Lilu's small group, would you please stand up? And then if you've been in any of their small groups, please stand up. So look around. You've changed the world. It's pretty cool. Now they're crying. This is so much fun. Lilu, thank you so much. Let's give Lilu a round of applause. All right, I'm almost done being sappy. For those of you that have been around since 2020, I want to show you something. I want to show you a picture from our first fall semester together. Could you put that first one up? That's a crappy picture. I took it. You'll notice that there's like 30 seats between each person and masks on. Go to the next picture. It's a better quality. So that's what our first semester looked like together. It was COVID, so we had to sit really far apart. Everyone's wearing masks. No one knew what each other looked like. There's a dog. Anyway, sorry, I just got distracted. Remember that? Remember how awkward it felt? I'd like preach to someone up there in the corner. I'm like, hey, how's it going? They're like looking at my behind anyways. It's crazy all that God has done since then, right? See, in 2020, we prayed and we said, God, we are ready for more. We show the next picture. And that is from our fall this year. It's almost like God answered that prayer. That's crazy. Since 2020, hundreds of students have come to know Jesus. Lives have been changed. Your lives have been changed. Class, when you came in with 2020, we have done it. We have changed the world from Cedar Falls, Iowa. But see, I'm confident that the best part of your journey with Jesus is yet to come. You can take the picture down. Thank you so much. All right. Kyle, would you stand? Chi Alpha, I pray that you know that God can do more through you than you could ever imagine. If you've learned anything in Chi Alpha, whether it's 1 week or 4 years, I pray that you've learned that you can change the world, that your life can matter for something so much greater than just yourself, that your life can count if you choose to be an ambassador for Jesus. If you're an ambassador for Jesus, you will change the world. See, look at what God has done since 2020. That's 4 years. I want you to imagine something real quick. Imagine 2028. Oh, what's God going to do in the next 4 years? I'm excited. That's why I'm not quitting. I'm around. You're stuck with me. I don't ever get a World Changer Award. I'm not leaving. Anyways, imagine what these next 4 years could look like here on campus. Just imagine it. If that doesn't implore us to be ambassadors for Christ so God can make his appeal through us, I don't know what will. So for those of you that will be around next fall, you better get ready. Get ready for revival because God is going to move this fall. God is going to use you to do more. God is going to use you to turn the world upside down. I believe that even if this is your very first time at a Chi Alpha service, they don't usually look like this. We don't have ceremonies every time, just this week. But anyways, I still think God can do more through you next fall. That maybe this will be the moment when you give your life to Jesus. Because the reason we do all of this is not just to have some hoopla. We do this because we serve a God who loves us so much that he came and died on a cross. That even though we are far more sinful than we could ever imagine, we are so much more loved than we could ever dare dream because of the goodness of God. We do not do this to be ready for more for us. We do it because we serve a King who died for us and gave everything for you and I to be able to celebrate and find grace through him. That's why we do this. And if we get ready, God will move. If we get ready, God is going to fill this room with people worshiping King Jesus. I have a dream of 10,000 Panthers on their knees worshiping King Jesus. And see, if you will decide to live for more, you will be a part of the greatest adventure. You'll be a part of a journey of a lifetime. See, if we are ready for more, God will be ready for revival. And the world will never be the same. Chi Alpha, let's go change the world, amen. Let's pray together. I want you all to extend your hands to God. And I want you to start praying out loud right now, praying for God to move. Jesus, we love you. God, we pray that we will see revival this fall. God, we pray that the investments of the seniors, of them sowing seeds, of going through the rough harvest, God, over the last 4 years, we will bear fruit this fall, God. We are praying for revival. Jesus, we are settling for nothing less. God, I pray for this summer that every student in here will keep saying yes to you and no to the world, God. I pray for this fall that we will get out of our comfort zones as we say yes to you, King Jesus. And I pray that there will be a day where thousands of people are worshiping you in eternity because of the obedience of the students in this room, God. God, you come where you're wanted, and we want you here, Jesus. We are ready for revival, God. Let's worship together, Kyle. Thank you.